Hello and welcome to the HBO Boys podcast. Whether you're listening in your own home, tucked in bed, or perhaps near a mansion with your feet in the water and taking up the Florida sunlight. Either way, only those two ways. I'm glad that you're here today. Hi, it's Ryan, and that's Adam. He's also here.
I'm here, and you know you might be potentially going to Disney World. I mean, if you're going to do that, you know,
if you're in Florida, you should
have a great time there. I'm jealous. And
who are you talking to?
I'm just talking to the ether.
That doesn't make any sense.
May or may not be in Florida at Disney because I've never gone to Star Wars World and I really want to.
Well, now that you've put that out into the ether, as you say, I'm sure it'll come true one day.
I sure hope so.
You're sort of, you put that energy out.
I do.
You get Star Wars back.
I hope so. My God, that would be wonderful.
It really would. Okay, today we're going to talk about a few trailers were out, put out into the world. And then we've been watching Masters of the Air. I'll preface this by saying I didn't hate last week's episode, but last week's episode was weird. This episode wasn't that weird.
Oh, this episode was a bummer. Last week's episode was the worst of the series.
No, this episode was good.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it was a good episode of television. Sure.
Yeah.
But it could also be described as a huge bummer.
It is a huge bummer.
But not a bummer that made me mad. And last week was a bummer that made me mad. So, like, you know, different.
Yeah, for sure.
Either way. But I think before that, we should start with how excited we are for Dune 2, baby.
Woo! Already bought those tickets. Ooh, yes. We got tickets.
We did get tickets.
We're seeing it in Cinemark XD the day after opening day.
Right.
So we're a little late, but whatever. Very excited.
Thursday nights.
I know. Oh, who? That's right. Thursday now.
Who can do that? I wish I still could. This is just me being old. I wish I still could get out there.
I mean,
10:30 p.m. on a Thursday.
I could if I didn't work. I've done it, but I work.
When you didn't work. Do that. Yeah. No, so you can't do it. That's the point.
Right. It's a bummer. Exactly. That's also a bummer.
Fine. Whatever. But yes, we are going. My one thing is I don't like the popcorn box one bit.
I was going to ask if you were going to get one.
I'm not going to get one.
I kind of want to get one out of just sheer curiosity.
If you could, for the folks, as this is an auditory medium.
Sure.
Could you describe what this Dune popcorn box looks like?
Yeah. So if you haven't seen it on the internet, the Dune popcorn bucket is a large retelling, I'll say, of the sandworm from Dune. And the whole of the popcorn bucket is the sand dune's mouth. So you have to put your hand through the mouth of the sand dune. However,
sandworm
of Dune.
How dare. And yes, there you go.
If you've seen the first one or seen any pictures of the sandworm from Dune, they have these like frilly frills on their, which is teeth, right? It's teeth.
Yeah, I'm gonna call them squiggles. They're like squiggles that are teeth.
That are like long and undulating when they like approach the surface of the sand. And you have to put your hands through that and it's like silicone. Mm. And the thing that the internet is really excited about is it just looks like a fleshlight. It's a fleshlight. And there's a video online of the cast reacting to the popcorn bucket.
Oh, were they all like, why? Why did they do this? Like,
oh, that's a choice.
It's so weird. If you made this choice and it was purposeful where you were like, we're going to go viral because this is so weird, then
they did success.
A+.
Yeah.
You did it. But in the instance where someone made this design and then everyone decided we were doing it and everyone along the way thought that it was the best idea, like the good idea. If it's that case, I feel bad for those people because I don't know if this was the way to go.
I mean, the thing is like they've only shown pictures of it, right? I can't imagine it's small. Like it's got to be a it's a collectible popcorn bucket. Those are usually like the bigger ones.
This is a large bucket, Adam.
Yeah, so I can't wait to see it on display when we go see Dune.
I could do without it.
I just want to see it. I don't need to have it, but
I saw a picture on the internet. I got it.
I heard it was $60.
That's too many for, yeah, especially this.
But like, I mean, it's silicone, Ryan.
So. Anything. I don't care. Anything that is a receptacle for popcorn.
Or is it popcorn?
50. Yes. Yes, it is. And how dare you?
It is a weird popcorn bucket. And I'm here for it.
I'm paying $50 max for this. Okay? Yeah, take $10 off the top. Save me some $10.
Yeah.
And I'll get your weird bucket. But
I mean, the theater's got to make their money somehow.
I don't care. Okay. Also, what happened this week very recently was that Borderlands, the trailer came out.
Yeah.
And I had forgotten about this movie.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, when it was announced, I was so excited because I play like 4-5 games total. I'm like the worst video game hobbyist that's ever lived. And I'm one bad at all of them, which isn't helpful. But two is I only play like 4 games. And Borderlands is a franchise that is one of those.
I didn't know that. I was going to ask if you played it.
I play every game in the Assassin's Creed franchise, every game in the Borderlands franchise, and every game in the Far Cry franchise. And then Overwatch and Rocket League. And
well, now aren't you playing something else right now?
No, I'm playing Overwatch right now.
Are you playing that Helldiver game?
Oh, well, I was playing Pal World, which is fun because it's Pokemon. It's the way you want Pokemon to be. Actually, that game really ripped. But the server issues were a lot and were weird. But like, I played a bit of Helldivers 2, which let's get into for one sec. Because one, I wish I was better at it. Of course, I'm not good at it. Mm-hmm. So that's a factor. But two is that the algorithm has been feeding me a lot of Helldivers 2.
I see it everywhere.
And it's mainly because of the narrative of the story, which is actually, I love it. I like the narrative more than I like the game. It's so, if you don't know, and I'm going to do a bad job describing this, Adam, if you want to jump in, please do, because I've barely played Helldivers. I just know what I saw from the intro. This is a future world. It's Starship Troopers-esque, where all of the soldiers are really hyped to be killing, whether it be bugs or robots. But also all of the world is happening simultaneously. So when you're not playing, bugs are retaking over a planet that you and the millions of other people playing Helldivers 2 spent the day clearing.
Yeah.
So to clear a planet, there has to be like a really dedicated effort, and one side of the map has been cleared and the other side of the map, the robot side, is they're getting into it as of the past few days. But also there's a thing where in this game there are game masters, and they will sometimes just add stuff to instances.
Love
when you're doing it on a really hard difficulty.
Oh no.
Like, if you're running through it, a game master will press a button and be like, okay, 8 giant spiders. Have fun. And you can see it happen live. It doesn't show you that the admin did it, but it's pretty clear. Like, those 8 giant spiders weren't over there before. So, and it's all wrapped in this, we're doing it for democracy. We're doing it for the freedom of we're freeing these bugs as we murder them, kind of thing.
Oh, sure.
Like,
yeah.
And that's the vibe. So, yeah, it's great.
I mean, the concept is so good, but I've heard this is plagued with server issues because they don't time out people who are AFK. They just stay in there. So they're loading the server and keeping their spot by just being AFK.
Yeah.
And that's a bummer.
There's also this other thing, though, where maybe they didn't think millions of people were going to play the game. Like, yeah, it's one of those.
It's a good problem to have. Good problem.
It's the reason Power World had a tough time, too. I played, like, Wayfinder, a game nobody even knows about. I played that, like, 4 or 5 months ago for 2 days. It was really fun, but the servers were terrible.
Sure.
And because it just got a surge of people from a review on YouTube. And, like, they just weren't ready for it. How many great games have died? And and people would be playing to this day if day one server problems didn't happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and also this explosion of user base is just that's where we are in the world of the internet now. Like, you know, you get one TikTok video that goes viral and you have 4 million people playing your game.
Right. I also want to have a pal in Pal World. TikTok, sure. I appreciate you talking to me about this. I'm going to actually sort of, contrary to what you want me to do, turn off my phone and go do that.
Yeah, right.
Either way, the reason we started talking about this was Borderlands.
Sure.
That trailer looks god awful, and it bums me out. It one that I forgot it existed at all. I think I read the cast list earlier in last year.
Yeah.
And just thought, oh no thank you.
Yeah, it's okay. So a couple of things that struck me. Okay. Yet again, another trailer that began with "trailer starts now."
That's like how trailers are, Adam.
But that's so dumb. We're watching the trailer. We know it's starting.
You wouldn't know unless they told you. Okay.
You're right.
Thank you.
The producer of Uncharted, not a great start.
Uncharted was bad.
Yeah, we reviewed that movie. Go listen to that podcast after this one. It's not good.
Right. Yeah, not well, the podcast is good. We did about
the podcast is great. They had Jamie on it.
It had Jamie on it. Don't go listen to it. I know we just said James is on it, and you're like, that guy's better than these two guys, which if I'm being honest, personally agree with, but don't go listen to that right now. Keep listening to this. Thanks.
It's directed by Eli Roth. That's a little redeeming.
Yeah.
It's a little redeeming.
Seems as though the one, I'd say there's two redeeming factors. Cate Blanchett.
Sure.
Which I'll take any day.
She's great.
Eli Roth. There are many other problems I have with it. One, weirdly, I'm not buying the Jack Black, robot voice. I Claptrap to me is really important. That's the robot's name. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But he's like a huge part of that game and the vibe of it all. And Jack Black never misses for me, but I don't know. I just sort of want it to be Claptrap's voice.
Yeah. You know, the cast is very hodgepodge. I mean, they could have used a lot of either the same voice actors or no name actors, and it probably would have been received better.
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, like, I give producers with all the money in the world the benefit of the doubt. If you can have Kevin Hart in your movie,
then I don't want him.
No. That's you'd be making the wrong decision financially. Yeah,
sure.
Right? Like, think about if you're in that seat and you're like, gosh, Kevin Hart does not fit this role. But he's in the movie for sure. Like, of course he is. You say yes to the biggest stars in the world if they say yes. But it doesn't make me want to watch it. Yeah, but other people.
That's where the problem is, though. Like, people are criticizing the cast choice for this, at least fans of the game, which is your target audience, really. I mean, it is like the same with a lot of the other video game adaptations we've seen. And just having a good solid cast that the player base likes or is familiar with, even one person, if they had all those high big name actors and then got the actual Claptrap voice actor to do Claptrap, perfect. I think that would have been great. It's just enough of the original to keep the legacy people interested and then bring on new fans.
And then I'm gonna say a criticism that is gonna be too specific.
Okay.
They got Tiny Tina wrong. Like,
They
did a bad job, and I don't think it's the actor's fault at all.
Yeah.
I just think the choice that somebody made to not make that character, who's the epitome of weird, just the weirdest little girl. But she, again, is just a huge part of what the vibe of this game is. In fact, she just got an entire game to herself, Tiny Tina's Wonderland, last year, which rules, by the way. And I played that because, again, I play all these Borderlands games.
Do you think that it would have suffered the same fate as Cowboy Bebop's live action, where it was the character so weird that to have it be a one-to-one on screen just doesn't work?
I mean, it's the same exact thing that Avatar The Last Airbender show is going to have to deal with, because Aang in the show is weird, and how weird do you go?
Right.
Like, when does weird have diminishing returns to a broader audience, which is what exactly we're trying to do? Yeah, we want The Last of Us people who played the game to be like the base of our viewership, but they can't be the only ones. It needs to be like they love it. And by word of mouth or advertising dollars alone, this is going to go the way that Game of Thrones went, which is like, think about the fact that if Game of Thrones was on the Sci-Fi Channel in like 97 to 05, right? Oh, it looks a little different, but say it's the same writing. It would be a cult classic today.
Sure.
It would be Twin Peaks, right? Where like, not a lot of people have watched it, but you hear about it all the time as being really good. The fact that, like, and you fast forward, and now we're in this place where Game of Thrones did what it did, which is take a kind of story that usually doesn't have 20 million people watching it every week, which is what happened. And you now are forced, it feels like, in these movies you're making, a la Borderlands, to like try to replicate that in some way. It opened a really wide door to a broader audience that producers didn't know they had access to prior, and now they're like overcompensating, it feels like. And if you want evidence of said overcompensation, watch the Borderlands trailer.
Yeah. You know what, though, too? You know, it being a video game adapted for screen also is tough, because the first show to gain extreme success, I mean, there's been little successes in the past, but extreme success, is The Last of Us. That was like, how come these games never were done like this one? And it's because The Last of Us show had the original game writer, the original producer. It used the same voice actors for the clickers. It used the same effects that the game. It was a one-to-one in a lot of cases. And I think to make it successful for not only the video game audience, but also the believability of it being from a video game and being something that could be in real life, is getting that stuff right. Because the people who are watching it for the first time aren't stupid. You don't have to pander to them and cater to them. Have it be the same level as the source material.
Just do it.
Okay. And that's where I get excited about the Fallout series. Looks pretty good. But if they, like, it can go so wrong.
It will.
And I hope it doesn't, because that trailer looked so great. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. It was a teaser trailer, but
I'm going to push back on your first point, though, saying The Last of Us was the first, you know, Arcane came out in 21.
Yeah, right.
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 Like, for sure. The Castlevania show in 17 was so cool. The Witcher, like, you know,
yeah, The Witcher, for sure.
Before The Witcher got weird. Halo's not a good example of this.
Halo's bad.
Halo's, geez Louise, is Halo not going
well? Assassin's Creed was bad. Uncharted was bad.
Yeah, well, I was talking TV shows, but yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, of course.
But you know what I mean? Like, there's very few that have done it well, but The Last of Us got that huge positive reception. I mean, you could argue that The Witcher was up there too, but
but The Witcher didn't have Game of Thrones as like a generalized lead in. And I know it wasn't, I know it didn't go that to that.
Yeah.
But like, it's on HBO now, which is a place over the last 3 years or 7 years, 8 years has completely changed.
Yeah.
It's Game of Thrones featuring all this other stuff. And when one of those all this other stuff gets like weirdly like next to Game of Thrones, like, hey, man, I'm also here now. And Game of Thrones is like, really? All right. Yeah. I didn't know. I don't really care. I've been in the front sort of the whole time, not looking back. But good to have
you. We'll see how The Last of Us season 2, season 3 end up faring. I hope that they do well. It's such cool story.
No, yeah, they're going to be huge. Also, wait, yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis in Borderlands. Love that.
Yeah, though. Yeah, I do love that. But and the last thing about Borderlands that I saw that made me laugh out loud was I was looking at the comments of the actual trailer on YouTube. And the best comment I saw was, hey, you know the excitement you have for the Deadpool 3 trailer? Yeah, this is the exact opposite.
Oh my God. Did you write
like,
it?
No.
Sounded like
God, I wish I did.
I'm going to love this movie from the producer of Venom. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah. And Spider-Man. And they don't tell you which one very specifically.
Well, they don't have to.
Yeah, okay? Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So if you don't have to, just say Spider-Man. Yeah. Let the mind wander, perhaps. Anyway, do you want to talk at all about this Nick Cage thing? Or?
Yeah, Nick Cage is, I guess, rumored to play, what is it? The Prime Video's live-action Spider-Man Noir, which seems weird.
Sure.
But I'm here for it.
How much, though?
You know what? Nick Cage, I love Nick Cage. He's sure. Over the top. He's insane, but he actually is a very good actor.
Yeah, of course. Are you going to see it in theaters though?
I, you know what? If this is real and it comes out and it looks cool, for sure I'll go see that in theaters.
Is it a show? It's a show.
Oh, it's a show. For sure, never mind. I'll see that in my living room.
I'll see a show in theaters.
I'll see it in theaters if it's playing.
I'll do it right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll. I don't know. Maybe I'll watch it. Tell me how it is.
Yeah, we'll watch the pilot.
Okay. And then we'll, I suppose, get to the place. Oh, wait, you said you watched a movie before we talked about Masters of the Air, which I keep stalling.
No, it's okay. I watched a movie. It's been out for about 10 years, but I just watched it for the first time. It's called St. Vincent, and it's with Bill Murray. And have you heard of this movie?
No.
No? Okay. So I had heard of it, but I never cared to watch it. It's got Melissa McCarthy in it. Bill Murray is in it. It's about a Vietnam vet who is a next door neighbor to a newly moved in family. And the next door neighbor is a mother, single mother, and her son. And her son is young, in middle school, I would say, maybe even younger. It's about the story of how he becomes very friendly with Bill Murray's character, but he's like kind of an asshole, Bill Murray's character. He's an old vet. He's a drunk. He gambles. He
plays
swears
Clint
a lot.
Eastwood.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's just about the friendship that forms as Vincent takes Oliver under his wing in life. And it's actually pretty funny. I mean, it's got Bill Murray in it, but it's also, it ended up being really, really heartfelt and in some cases very sad.
Was there tragedy?
There was some tragedy.
Okay,
but it resolved fairly well at the end. But there was, you know, the tragedy wasn't anything big to the main story of the two characters. It was kind of a side thing.
Okay, well, don't tell us anymore. Okay.
But the ending was so sweet and heartfelt. And it's called,
too much too.
It's called St. Vincent.
Yeah, you can't tell me the ending is sweet.
You gotta watch. If you have some time, I think it's worth a watch.
I don't have any, so.
But yeah, as of late. But the ending is really good. And It brought a tear to my eye. I watched it with my girlfriend and we were pleasantly surprised by it because I thought it was going to be like a Bill Murray comedy movie. It wasn't. It wasn't. Yeah, it was good, though. Really liked it.
I mean, that's the way that people used to react for dramatic turns like in the 90s, because before the internet was a thing, people would go to, you know, Truman Show and be like, why isn't Jim Carrey being funny?
Yeah. Oh, they have
How
range.
Dare
crazy.
He? I took the night off for a LARF.
Yeah.
And now I don't get no LARF.
Although that did have some humorous parts in it. I mean, as did this movie. There were some funny things that were happening on screen, but like the overarching like feel was very somber and it was very real, which was nice for a change.
Well, to get to like the opposite of somber, let's talk about Masters of the Air episode.
Sure.
I was doing a joke. Yeah. So everyone died.
It was a real bummer.
Hey, Adam, ask me how Masters of the Air is going.
Hey, Ryan, how is Masters of the Air going? I want to give it a watch.
Oh, everyone's dead.
Oh, shoot. Well, that's a bummer.
Do you have any follow-up questions? Or?
Yeah. So who died?
Everyone.
So the characters are dead? All the main characters are dead?
Main. You don't even have to use that qualifier. The answer is yes.
All of them are dead.
Everyone's dead. Yeah.
Wow. So, this is a bummer, man. Like we were talking about episode 4 and how Austin Butler is potentially dead and Barry Keoghan is likely dead.
He's dead. He exploded.
He absolutely is dead. this show is stunning you because like this is the emotional toll that these soldiers took. Like
it's a real bummer.
It's like these people who are stoic and incredibly good at their job are being taken out in a blink of an eye.
Well, and the planes are like going so slow.
They're going so slow, and it's so bright out.
To shoot at them.
So bright out,
and it's during the day.
Yeah,
and they keep doing it, and they send some of these guys on 3 missions in a row, like 3 Unreal. Days in a row. Like, because there is nobody else is the reason.
Mm.
Okay. So other than everyone's dead, which everyone's not actually dead, right? Like Major Reagan is in a bush somewhere in Germany and he's trying to figure his life out.
Sure. And Crosby's still there. He's got promotion this episode.
Crosby got a guilt promotion, not one that he got due to guilt. In fact, he got it because he's probably the best navigator around for real, as much as it pains me to say based on how terrible and weird he was in episode 1, but you know, growth.
Growth.
You gotta allow people to grow.
Mostly. I felt bad for him this episode because like he got this promotion and this so much is hanging on his shoulders now. And then these guys come back one plane comes back and everyone else is dead. Yeah.
The first mission, he doesn't go on as navigator. Everybody dies. Feels
unreal.
And then you read he reads the note that his best friend wrote to his wife when
that hit me.
His best friend thought that he was dead and whew, tragedy.
Yeah, that was tragic.
It was. Yeah. So, everyone, I suppose the reality of the situation is like everyone's in purgatory right now. There are a few characters that I think we could pretty much check off as you're not coming back. I saw you explode.
Of course.
But a lot of the main characters are in some sort of are they alive purgatory at the moment, which I found to be generally annoying last week, but I found to be less annoying this week. And I can't exactly put my finger on it. Why? Probably just because of like how many people are dead.
Yeah.
Because it's so many.
There's so many. They lost like 150, maybe. I can't remember the exact number. It was over 100 pilots in one mission.
Yeah. And to be fair, I suppose, they're all red shirts, right? Didn't lose anybody major to us in this episode. That was the actual thing. Like, 120 people died, but we still got Austin Butler in Are You Alive Purgatory. And now he's joined by like one or two B characters. We didn't get any of the side quests this week.
Nothing.
And we still haven't seen 3 people who are on the poster. And next week will be episode 6. So,
as they die off and these airmen are getting killed, they're bringing in new people, and this show is continuing on, bringing in new people. So this is going to continue. We know this is going to continue. And it's a bummer. History tells us that.
History is pretty prescriptive about it. What I will say, though, is like, it did feel this way in Band of Brothers, though, is what I'll say. Like,
no.
I'm not anti it. I was last week, but I suppose when you lean into the idea to the nth degree, it just kind of forces me to come around the side of like, okay, I get fine. Yes. If I say yes, will you stop murdering everybody? Please. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Band of Brothers was a little different in that respect. It followed, it does follow one company, right? But it followed Easy Company and their journey through, Germany and all that stuff in France. And, So we had real tellings of these real people, we talked about it last week, how they started each episode with the real soldiers doing interviews in present day. And That's just a very different vibe than what this show is. This show is, here's the army, or here's the airmen commands, and this is what happens to all the guys that go up.
Right.
Yeah,
well, you can't do the old people at the front now.
No.
Especially not in Masters of the Air, which is killing off so many.
I know.
Because it lets everybody know who's alive, and that's a spoiler. So how dare you? You can't do it.
Yeah, if you see an interview from 1940 of that person, like, oh, that guy's dead this episode.
That guy died in the world war, I bet.
But it would be interesting to know, I mean, we will find out eventually, who did survive, and if there are any interviews of it.
It feels as though we're about to go to a ground show, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Potentially. It feels, I don't know, because they're still going to cycle in new airmen, because they still have to take out and complete these missions for bombing.
But here's the problem. Mm-hmm. I don't care about those new airmen.
Oh, okay? I care about them.
No. I care about like the 3 to 4 main characters.
They weren't in the press tour?
I don't care if they were in the press tour. They don't matter to me, Adam. They're not the main characters.
Yeah, they're not Austin Butler.
Who, if he's alive, is on the ground. They're not Major Egan, who, he's alive and he is on the ground. Navigator guy, guilty. Ground. Yeah. He's navigating from the ground, and Barry Kagan exploded. So, and then side quest guy in Germany, doing a quest. And where is he doing that quest, Adam?
On the ground.
It's on the ground.
Yeah. Okay. But
this is Masters of the Air.
Masters of the Air, right? And I'm thinking that these guys had such resilience.
No.
And I think that we're gonna, if they survive these, I think they're gonna go back up before the end of the episode.
Of course. Of course they are.
Yeah.
One last run.
They're 25th. Ride.
If they do this one, they get to go home. Is obviously going to happen. You're going to have both main characters who Austin Butler, I just have to assume, is alive. It would be bonker sauce if that's the way that they decided to kill off Austin Butler from the show.
Or it's a very ballsy move that puts weight into his death.
I guess. How dare you?
God damn it.
What we did there was a podcasting staple of coming at something from two different perspectives.
Yeah, I know. It's wild.
Yeah.
But I liked this episode. I like where the story is going. I'm intrigued to find out when they bring on the Tuskegee Airmen, when they bring on the new crews. Like, I'm interested in that as much as you may not be. Butler was a means to an end.
No. How? Okay.
Barry Kagan, means to an end.
How? Dude. What? You're off the rails. Well,
in the story, anyway.
You unhinged.
Yeah, we needed to know that. We needed to know them and like them and understand them. So when they died, we felt the weight of their of how much they were sacrificing in every time they went up.
You're heartless.
I'm heartless.
You're heartless,
I'm,
dude.
Ryan, I'm feeling it.
Nah, you don't even care about them. So
you're right.
Anyway. Thanks for joining the HBO Boys this week. If you want to hear these episodes earlier and ad-free, there's a way to do that specifically. You can join the Patreon.
Patreon.com.
Shut up.
Intense.
Shut up, man. I'm in the middle of something.
Okay.
You can talk.
Continue.
You don't need my permission.
I want it. Go ahead.
Patreon.com/HBOBOYC. For more dollar a month, you get what I previously explained. Also, what you get at the end of an episode is Adam saying your name, your Patreon name, which can be anything. You really get this moment to sort of make Adam say whatever you want for a dollar a month and for less than a second a week. But it's the returns.
Should I make each one of these at least a second long?
No.
Just so we can say it's more than a second a week?
No, I don't know about that. Oh, no.
Okay. Well, we'd like to thank our patrons anyway. Jamie Lochner at... Oh my God, I started. Sunshine, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Adam Donging Ryan, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Susan, and Buffalo Pizzle. So Jamie Lochner, I said your name three times already, so I mean, there is a $3 a month tier.
Pretty cool.
I mean,
now you're extorting. That's extortion.
It's fine. We'd like to thank Sunshine and Brent Ginn for being our $5 a month tier patrons. Thank you so much for what you give. We appreciate you. And if you'd like to, which we hope you do. Please follow us on our socials at the HBO BOIZ. Fun fact, I was on Threads yesterday.
Why?
And I started a conversation with the Rite Aid account. And if you're not sure what Rite Aid is, it is a nationwide pharmacy chain here in the United States. And they posted something about mayo in my coffee. And I said, don't tempt me to put mayo in my coffee. I'll do it right now. And then they responded to me and they said, do it. And I said, don't tempt me. And then we responded in GIFs for 4 or 5 more responses.
That was someone's job.
And I'm like, this is at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah. So not only was it someone's job, it was someone not like they were somewhere else, man.
They were somewhere else. But also, I'm just curious, why is Rite Aid talking about mayo and coffee, a very well-respected pharmacy chain in the United States?
What are you, their PR representative?
No, but like, I just want to put it in perspective for people who are unsure who that is or what that is.
Who is Rite Aid?
It does not make sense. I want to know who Rite Aid is.
And the inside.
But if you want to get in on that shenanigans, follow us on Threads, because I've actually been pretty active on the Threads lately.
You did it with the HBO Boys account?
Oh, I'm on the HBO Boys account exclusively on Threads.
So, okay. This changes a lot. Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Didn't have the context. So what you're saying right now
is
not Adam. Adam didn't have a conversation yesterday.
The HBO
with
Boys. And one of those GIF images was Borat going, very nice.
Okay.
Go look at it. It's fun.
No, I'm okay. I got it. No, you explained it to me.
Ryan, I'll be honest with you. The HBO Boys is a little unhinged on Thread.
Yeah, I'm getting that vibe.
They're a little unhinged, and it is a vibe, man.
No, you've made that clear. This is my main issue. I'm a CVS guy. Okay.
You know what? As am I.
So, and now you're like, you're talking to other pharmacies, and I don't think that's cool.
I'm sorry. I'll message the CVS pharmacy Threads account because they also have one, and it is also unhinged.
I don't think you should. And here's why. I see that I messed up here by telling you to do something else when I don't.
Should I pit Rite Aid and CVS against each other on Threads? That'd be fun, right?
Yeah, no, that actually would probably be fun.
Yeah.
You should try, but also on the same thread.
Yeah. Hey.
Don't.
Oh, okay. Well, if you want to see if I do that, follow us on Threads. It'll be a fun time.
Okay. I will. I'll be there. I'll watch, you know, to see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Just three people in the chat. It's the HBO Boys.
Yeah.
Sonico.
Yeah.
And a guy named Ryan being like, please stop. Oh, please don't do that. Stop talking to a gas station again. Our account only becomes known for weird long GIF battles with various corporations who aren't paying us.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
Okay.